This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Cincinnati Auto Expo is the region's largest auto show, featuring over 400 vehicles. The 2017 Expo starts tomorrow and runs through Sunday at the Duke Energy Convention Center. And joining us with a preview, our assistant professor with the University of Cincinnati's College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, Juan Antonio Islas Munoz, and Greater Cincinnati Automobile Dealers Association Executive Vice President Charlie Howard, and Film Cincinnati Executive Director Christian Schlottman. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Antonio, Kristen, and Charlie, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
So, Charlie, give us an overview. 400 vehicles. So this is the biggest such event in our area, right?
It really is. It's a great opportunity to see, you know, some of the latest vehicles that are available in the market today. And we kick that off tomorrow night at 5 o'clock with our preview part of the show. It's $1 to get in. And we run through Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long has the Auto Expo been going on?
Well, it has a long history. We actually date back to the early 1900s. The show then
didn't realize it was that far back.
It does, yes. Yeah. In fact, took place right almost across the street from us here back in the early days. The show then took a hiatus for a period of time, and about 30 years ago, the dealers brought it back, and we've been going strong ever since.
So, Kristen, tell us about one of the new. I think it's one of the new displays at the expo. It deals with cars of Hollywood stars who have shot films in Cincinnati.
That's right.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, we've not done this in the past because we have not had as many films to choose from. But given the fact that we had over 10 major motion pictures last year in Cincinnati alone, we thought what better time to display some of the picture cars at the Cincinnati Auto Expo, because it really does help tell the story in major motion pictures. And I think we're displaying three this weekend. One certainly would be the Packard, which was used in the film Carol and used quite a bit, and also was the car of Cate Blanchett in that film. And I think we're also premiering a car from Miles Ahead, as well as the Gotti film, which is not out yet. So we're excited to be participating.
Yeah, so that would be the Continental. I think it was the 76 Continental that was
that's
in the Gotti
right.
film.
There you go.
How tough was it to get these cars? I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It is impressive. And to be honest, it's one of the things that filmmakers have found as a great resource in our region. You know, you come to a city because of the infrastructure, and part of that infrastructure, the obvious would be the locations and the crew. But if you're able to source the picture cars also in that area and not travel them in on a stake bed, then that also makes it cost effective and efficient for a major motion picture. We've been able to do that on most every film that's shot here. And now we have a database entirely designated to picture cars for major motion pictures. They consist of different time periods, different makes, different models, police cars, ambulances, buses, etc. And we're excited to share that with the public this weekend.
Well, were these cars that were owned by Cincinnatians and made their way into the movie, or how did that all come about?
Different. Some of them are collectors. Some of them are just owned by various Cincinnatians. And usually, if that person wants to participate, we will also cast them as the driver as well. And our database is getting larger and larger, and we're hoping this weekend that we can even add to that with a lot of your patrons. It's just another way for people to participate in the movie and make a little money on the side.
See, Kristen, access to cars is a resource in Cincinnati. I never would have thought of that one. That's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Antonio, the design, architecture, art, and planning students at UC have a display as well. And tell us about that.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, we will be having a display about pretty much the future of vehicles, right? That's what we do there. We're bringing 4-scale models of exterior, interiors, of sports cars, SUVs, and hatchback. We have poster material where the people that go to the show are going to see in illustrations all the designs that have for the future. We have a Mars sand surfing rover. So we can see all the way that far into the future. We have a Kia hatchback. And We also have video materials that we're going to be showing animations, basically computer models interacting, some concepts of autonomous vehicles as well. Just kind of like envisioning what the future of personal mobility will be.
And as we move toward cars that are more and more automated, my understanding is that the seat's going to play an important role, and that's something that will be brought out at the display.
Yes, well, there are several levels of autonomy that a car can have, but like you say, there's a point where the steering wheel, like all the controls, are no longer used or no longer needed, right? So the seat itself, like the seating layout of vehicles, can potentially switch from like four people facing forward to probably two of them facing the rear, two facing forward, kind of like more lounge environment. But it basically just opens the rule book to any potential combination of seating layouts that you have when you don't have to have a person sitting in the driver's seat looking forward. Yeah. So yeah, we do have a Cadillac project display that was done in collaboration with General Motors in the fall of 2015 with a team of students from several universities around the world, from Wuppertal, Germany, Berlin, and us from the from DAP here at UC.
Mm-hmm. How much time goes into designing, even just a what would be considered an ordinary or plain car? How many people are involved and how much work is involved in creating a car?
Well, it varies. It is definitely a big group of people. Like the days where one designer would do the whole vehicle are long past, right? So you have teams of designers that are in charge of the exterior of the vehicle, teams that are in charge of the interior of the vehicle. Some people do lighting. There's been a lot of advances there. And there's also people that do just color, trims, fabric materials of the interior of the car as well. Now, there's a new discipline that's arriving, the design world, which is the user experience inside the car that goes beyond the physicality of vehicles today. So to respond to your question, it is a large team. Companies will have different sizes depending on what they can afford, but it is a sizable team, probably dozens of people rather than a few.
How much of the interiors of cars changed in just the past 10 years? It's been a pretty dramatic shift, hasn't it?
Well, yes and no. Yes, in a way that materials have shifted, and interiors are a lot more welcoming today. They're no longer just the plastic. Like the car designers, the companies saw that the sculpture on the outside wasn't the only thing. So in that way, it has evolved a lot. However, if you see, like we're still dealing with the steering wheel, with a center console, with all these different elements like the door handles, the basic layout's the same with additions from technology. Definitely a lot less buttons now that we have all these tactile screens to operate our vehicles. But then again, it's still under the same paradigm. And in the next few years or a few, 5-10 years, we'll see the real shift on car interiors.
Charlie, there have been some studies that have shown that millennials are putting off getting their driver's licenses and buying a car. You think the love affair with the car is coming to an end, or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, the history of the car in America, I mean, they're almost one, right? And interestingly enough, Mark, in the last year, 2 years, probably as the economy's changed, probably as some of these millennials have moved along a little farther along in their professional careers, we are seeing these folks come to the dealerships, and they are buying cars. Certainly, they seem to be more open to ride-sharing and some of those types of things. But I think to say that car ownership per se is dead or gone, I think we're a long way from that. But I do think, and Antonio and I were just talking about that when we were in the green room, there are going to be other options, and I think those are going to be explored.
So what's most popular right now in the market? SUVs, trucks, sedans?
Yeah, it's not even close. It's a runaway with light-duty trucks, crossovers, and SUVs. Last year, about 60% of the vehicles sold fell into that classification. And last month, it's only 1 month, so you don't want to take too much from that, but it was about 63% were in that class. So clearly, America's always loved bigger, larger cars than most of the world. And clearly, we still do.
Yeah. So as far as the expo, what kind of things can people do at the expo?
Well, you can do just about everything. You know, we've got three manufacturers that are going to have test drives. Toyota, Chevrolet, and Ford are going to have 19 different vehicles that you can actually drive through the streets of Cincinnati. We're going to have 35 manufacturers that you can see the vehicles, sit in them, look at them. take the family, make sure everybody fits in the back seat. Obviously, we're going to have the folks we've been talking to with Kristen and Antonio and their displays. We also have the concourse is going to be there with us with some of their beautiful cars. We've got some car clubs. We've got a lot to do for families, Mark, and we really think that buying a car is a family experience because a car has to really fit a lot of needs within a family. And so we want you to be able to bring those kids. So your kids 12 and under are always free. We've got goodie bags for the kids that are 8 and under. We've got face painters, caricature artists, mascots, all kinds of things for kids to do. We know from surveys that you'll be there about 2 to 2.5 hours. We even have a beer and wine garden so you can rest your feet. So come see all the things, the old cars, the new cars, the current cars, the future cars. It should be very entertaining and very educational.
But you don't have to be looking to buy a car, right? I mean, this is just something you can do and enjoy yourself. If you're a car fanatic, this is for you, right?
That's exactly right. We do know from our surveys that about half the people that come to our show are in the market. But we also know that about a third of the people that come to our show come every year because they want to experience the types of things we've been talking about.
What's attendance like? How many people usually pass through during this?
Well, we get a lot of people. We'll be wall to wall, especially on Saturday and Sunday. And that's why I encourage people to come to our matinees on Thursday and Friday and our sneak peek on Wednesday.
Yeah. And you were saying this has been around since the early 1900s. So what kind of reaction do you get to the car expo? I mean, people must really, really enjoy it.
They do. You know, again, I think it's this love affair with cars that most Americans have. And they like to see what's new. And it's one of the reasons DAP's coming to our show this year, because they tell us on the surveys, we want to see not only what's new, and we all have pre-production cars. For instance, we'll have the 2018 Mustang and the 2018 F-150 there. We'll have a SC500 Lexus that's not available on the market. They'll love that, but they'll really love Antonio's display because that's that peak of maybe what's around the corner, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15, who knows, but that's what people like.
Yeah. So what would you say are the most popular cars usually at the expo?
Well, everybody goes and sees whether it's their favorite truck or their favorite sports car. You always have that moment where you dream, kind of like when you buy a lottery ticket and for a moment you think, man, that vacation would be good, or I would buy this. And then there's sort of the, okay, now let's go look at the cars that probably most of us are going to buy. So there's a little bit of dreaming that goes on and then a little bit of a reality check. But, you know, the incredible thing is the way the technology has trickled down from the luxury cars to the cars that most of us drive every day is amazing. And so
you're absolutely right about that. I never thought I'd see the day where your car would be you'd have the touch screen, you'd have satellite radio, you'd have GPS in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you're driving a car, and the average age of the car on the road now is about 11 and a half years old. So if you're driving a car that's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, you will be absolutely amazed as far as the technology that's available to you. For the same car in the same kind of class. So it has been a marvelous 10 years, and probably the next 10, hold on, you know?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on driverless cars? Do we ever reach that point?
I'll let Antonio speak to that. He is, as a man of design, he is whole hog on that. And I don't think the technology is very far off as far as from a technology standpoint, but we are certainly going to have some legal issues, some practical issues. Are our highways designed to handle these vehicles? And also, as Antonio discussed a little earlier, how are we going to mix and mingle an autonomous car versus the person who's driving their car? But it's amazing what's happening.
It sounds wonderful when you imagine a future where all the cars are connected, no one's driving, the system works perfectly. And I think eventually that's going to happen. I think later rather than sooner, because that transition is probably the one that is going to have a lot of growing pains, right? How do you have a person that's unpredictable in a predictable system, right? And the cars either have to get smarter than what they are now, or again, we have to remove the human. And that big transition is kind of like going there. But there is a strong push by the auto industry to go that route. I know Ford wants to have an autonomous car on the road by 2021. And they're not the only ones, right? The Teslas are already driving themselves in the highway. So I guess it's going to be an escalation that's going to take some time, but we'll eventually get there.
And Kristen, you said you had three cars that were going to be in the Hollywood display.
I'm sorry, say that again.
You have three cars in the Hollywood display?
We do. And we're looking for people to come down and let us know what kind of car they have. And if they'd like to submit it for future films, we'll also be excited to hear. And it doesn't have to be a showpiece or a period car. It might just be, you know, your family car. And we're excited to learn about those and put you in our database as well.
So is this exhibit going to be back next year at the Auto Expo? Going to keep doing this?
I hope so, and I hope it grows year after year. And after listening to these two talk, I can't imagine, I mean, what a great weekend they have planned. I'm sold. I wasn't necessarily sold before, but after hearing this, I'll be there all weekend.
we're glad to
there
have
you, go. You, you gotta plug.
And we'll look forward to having you for years to come. I think it's a great opportunity. People have been very excited as we've talked about both these folks' displays, and I think it's going to be a great addition. And I think people are going to have fun with it.
Charlie,
and, you know, that's all right.
What's your advice? What are your tips for getting the most out of the expo if you come down?
Make sure you have about two and a half hours of time. Make sure that you do have the time for it. I'd start at the front of the show and make my way back. Remember, the concourse on 5th, where both of these displays are actually outside of the main A, B, and C halls. We have it very well marked, but make sure you get out to the concourse on 5th. That's where you're going to see both these beautiful displays.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us this afternoon. Film Cincinnati Executive Director Kristen Schlottman, Assistant Professor with the University of Cincinnati's College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, Juan Antonio Islas Munoz, and Greater Cincinnati Automobile Dealers Association Executive Vice President Charlie Howard. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Josh Elstro was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.